Mr. Dodge, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hey, that man who was tuning about the decoder took so much of time.
He did, eh? But I just want to tell you one thing. Now that I've revealed your favorite choice of iter, don't be surprised when you go for Juma, there's two musallas empty on either side of you.
I usually have a bath in that stuff.
Story that caught your eye this week.
Well, actually, Maulana, I only got one story this week, and it's so absolutely incredible that no other story could come near it in terms of being shocking and outrageous. And before I get to it, here's something of an introduction. Now, we often hear about how some parents really spoil their kids rotten, especially the rich ones. Kids just have to, well, let's just say that they have too much of money. So the spoiled brats wear only high-end, exclusive, stunningly expensive branded clothes. The cell phones they carry has to be the best and the latest. But above all, the primary status symbol is the motor vehicle. It's got to be the sleekest and fastest bling on wheels. As I said, very often parents are responsible for spoiling their children. Shame. Imran's friend's car is so fancy. Let's go and trade in his GTI. He must be feeling so small and depressed. Shame, he is so keen on that new two-door BMW. Eh? His birthday is next week. Let's surprise him and so on and so on and so forth. So, let me get to the story that made me breathless with disgust. A 20-year-old young man, son of a tycoon, multi-billionaire, they live in Switzerland. The father likes to buy cars for his son. So for the 20-year-old, the 20-year-old has 15 cars. Now, we're not talking about Camrys, Maulana. Hmm. And I'm still doing research about why most Maulanas drive Camrys. We're not talking about Camrys here, or Nissan Almiras and so on. We're talking top-class races, including a Lamborghini. Now, one of the cars that this lady owns is a Ferrari 458 Italia that his father bought for him earlier this year. The price of the Ferrari 458 Italia, a cool $240,000. That, my dear friends, is equal to 31 million rands. That's right, 31 million for the Ferrari 458. And that's one of 15 cars that the lighty owns. But wait, hang on. The father also gave his son properties to the value of $30 million. That's about 400 million rands. What a loving father, Hemolana. What a loving father. Oh, I forgot one more thing. This poor boy also gets pocket money from his father every month. How much? $10,000 a month. That's about 125,000 rands a month. Well, that can buy the lighty lots of ice cream with that pocket money. Okay, so where are we going with the story? Ish, but you people are quite impatient, eh? Let me read to you from the Times newspaper yesterday. That's our local newspaper, the Times. This is what it says. The youth visited a Ferrari dealership and was told the car he wanted was more expensive than his 458 model. The salesman of the dealership hatched a plan to have insurance pay out a claim on the damaged car so the young man could get a newer model. The plan included burning the Ferrari 458 and reporting the incident to an insurance company so that the youngster could get the model he wanted with the payout. The young man and his two accomplices traveled to Germany where he booked into a spa while the other two set the car alight. But CCTV footage obtained by the insurance company implicated the trio in the act of arson. At Augsburg, Germany, a court sentenced the young man to 22 months of probation and handed him a $33,000 fine. Asked why he carried out the plan, the man said that he didn't have the heart to tell his father he didn't like the Ferrari. Dear listeners, what is inside the head of this 20-year-old Mampara? Whatever it is, it can't be better than cow dung. Burning a Ferrari so that he could get a better model. Now, next time you see a young man showing off his iPhone, his new iPhone, please pause for a moment and think of this Ullu with his Lamborghini and burnt-out Ferrari. I hope his stupid father came to his senses and realized that he has raised a spoiled brat. Actually, I think the father should be locked up for raising a first-class laddu with no sense of value whatsoever. In fact, it is the father who has cow dung in his head.
What's the latest in Palestine?
Now, I have a confession to make. I have been extremely busy, Maulana, getting visas and flight tickets and fine-tuning itineraries and so on, and packing. Why? Because, inshallah, tomorrow I will be jetting off with my group to exciting Turkey and also, wait for it, Bosnia. That's right, Bosnia, a place of great beauty, a Muslim-majority country, and also a place that has experienced unbelievable tragedy. The massacre at Srebrenica, between 11th July and 13th July 1995. That's 20 years ago. All of this was commemorated in ceremonies last month. 8,000 Muslims, mainly men and boys, were systematically massacred by the Bosnian Serb army. What a tragedy. Mass graves were found, but many have not recovered the bodies of their loved ones. Yes, very sad indeed. And some of you may remember that Sarajevo was also under siege for a long time. You couldn't walk in the streets. Serbian snipers shot you down. People were suffering and starving in the siege. Pure terror. And in fact, I think I told you before, my brother Faisal was in Sarajevo working as a journalist, covering the war. He was stuck there for months on end. And of course, we here were consumed with worry. Anyway, he told me how absolutely beautiful Bosnia is today. So off we go tomorrow with a lovely group who traveled with me previously. And inshallah, you will be getting feedback of our experience, maybe while I'm there or when we return in 2 weeks' time, inshallah. And so, after telling you all of that, basically what I'm saying, dear teacher Suleiman, is that the dog ate my homework. I haven't been looking at any stories very closely, but one that is steadily developing is the issue of Mohammed Desai, the main man at BDS. By now, I'm sure you all know about the incident where the intrepid Mohammed Desai was evicted from the Virgin Active gym in Houghton. That, dear listeners, was absolutely outrageous, shocking, unacceptable, and abomination, totally scandalous. Why? Because of a BDS t-shirt that he wore and he went into the gym, he was told that some people are not happy that he wore the t-shirt. Excuse me? This is the new South Africa, eh? Nelson Mandela freed us. I'm talking about Mandela. What if you wore a t-shirt with Mandela's word? We will never be free until the Palestinians are free. Or the words of Bladen Zimande or Motlanthe or Vavi or Desmond Tutu, who said, Israel is worse than apartheid South Africa. Can you be evicted for having the words of Mandela on your t-shirt? Well, it's good to find out. And so, dear listeners, let's leave aside for now what we always seem to do, and sometimes not very effectively, boycotting. Boycott Virgin Active. No, I would say, rather, I think the best strategy is for all members of Virgin Active to wear BDS t-shirts, or as I said, get your t-shirt specially made with Mandela's words on it. And there are many people who print t-shirts while you will find them in shopping malls and so on. So get your pro-Palestinian t-shirt and head out to the gym and see what happens. And actually this should happen nationwide at all Virgin Active clubs. It's perfectly legal, of course, and it will be a great and effective way to see how the management will respond. Are you angry at the way Desai was treated? If you are, channel your anger in this way. Do it. And Maulana, I am ready. I'm pledging something now. I'm ready to get a t-shirt specially made for you. Why? You should say, Jazakallah khair. What was that laughter all about, Maulana? It's very rude of you.
No, I'm just so happy you thought of me.
And by the way, I just opened the paper now, the morning paper of Mercury here in Durban, and the story is on the front page and perhaps also in Joburg. Now, all of this brings me to the big question. Why all this focus on Israel, eh? Why all this focus on Israel? It seems that all you Muslims in particular and other activists around the world seem to be obsessed with Israel. Why Israel and not so much of focus on other trouble spots, Kashmir, Chechnya, China's Uyghurs, Myanmar? Why so much attention on Israel? Now, that's a very good question, which is often directed at activists and especially at Muslims. So today, because I haven't looked at other stories in the news, I've decided to do some very serious analysis of this question and one or two others about Palestine. The dynamics, the strategies and tactics. Okay, I can just see you reaching out for the switch on your radio to put it off. Hey, Kori Bibi, this Dawji fellow is going to be discussing some very heavy things today. I don't think he's going to talk about Halima Khala. So I'm going to the bathroom, get my cereals and tea ready, okay? Dear listeners, stay with me. Maybe there will be something that I will say that will inspire you, or maybe you will disagree with it. By the way, I did have an encounter with Halima Khala this week, Maulana.
Mm.
If listeners have been following the news very closely, you will know what it means when she shouted at me, "Hey, Dawji! You know, in Anjuman school in the old days when I was small, they used to give apples one day and oranges another. But I saw on the poster at the robot, the newspaper say that they will give mandarin in schools." No time to explain what that was about. Okay, I'll tell you. Some educational official said that it would be great if the Chinese language known as mandarin was taught in our schools. Considering that China's influence around the world is increasing, especially in Africa. But back to Palestine. Why are you Muslims and most of the world so focused on Israel? That's a very good question, as I said, especially when you look at the map of the world and try to find Israel. You very likely won't find it at all. It will be just a tiny dot, because as you know by now, Israel, or Palestine as we know it, is smaller than the Kruger National Park. That's right, smaller than Kruger Park. And yet it makes headlines almost every day. So why does this tiny place get special attention? And the answer is because Israel is special. And I don't mean that in a complimentary way at all. It's just the way it is. Israel is special, meaning that it is treated differently by mainly the powerful nations of the world, especially in the so-called West. It's not only we who focus a great deal on Israel, it's this, what I call Western world, that has treated Israel in a special way right from the start of its creation, actually long before it was created. To start with, the British government recognized the right of the Jews to have a homeland in Palestine. I beg your pardon, what right? Ah, yes. What right is there? These are special people, the chosen ones. Chosen by God. It's right there in the Bible. God promised them the land, so it belongs to them, they say. If any other people made such a claim that land in maybe Argentina is ours, because our holy book says that that land in Argentina is ours, you know what would happen? They would be laughed off and told to go and fly a kite. But not so when it comes to the Zionists of Europe. They were regarded as special people and were taken seriously. And so the British facilitated their return to the Holy Land. Since then, Israel has been treated differently. It is exempt from many rules and regulations that govern the world. One may say that it is above the law. It is a special case. In 1967, it took over East Jerusalem, the West Bank and Gaza. The UN said that this is illegal. Passed a resolution 242, which said, get out. Israel said, foot sack. The Geneva Convention says that you can't transfer your population onto land conquered by war. Israel says, buzz off, and transferred 500,000 settlers to massive housing complexes in the occupied territory. No one can do anything because Israel is special, above international law. Israel bombs Lebanese villages, bombs Gaza, kills thousands of innocent civilians, and world leaders still go and embrace. They go to Tel Aviv and they embrace the Prime Minister. Israel bombs Iraq's Osirak nuclear facility. Ah, that's acceptable. It's Israel doing it. Israel has over 300 nuclear weapons. So what? It's Israel. It's special. So don't question that. The entire U.S. Congress gives Netanyahu a standing ovation when he says Iran should not have nuclear power. And let's not forget that he went to Congress, not invited by the U.S. President, in a move that Obama described as unprecedented. But that's Israel. It is special. It is special. It can do that. Which other country in the world can do that? None. Which other country can tell the U.S. Congress that your president is wrong and is doing something very dangerous? And the politicians stand up and clap hysterically. No country, only Israel. And which country can tell the U.S. Congress, vote against a deal that the whole world supports? The whole world except Israel. So do what Israel wants because Israel is special. And they are right now focusing all their energies on this to scuttle the deal. Why is it that every U.S. politician who wants to be president has to say that Israel is America's greatest ally in the world? Why? Because Israel is special. That dot on the world map is very big indeed. It's happening right now. Donald Trump is Malema. I will die for Israel, he says. Well, words to that effect. How come Palestinian homes are demolished every day? Yes, every day. And homes for settlers are built every day. And the world is unconcerned. Why? Because Israel is special, exempt from condemnation. Of course, it is condemned. Israel announces that it will build 2,000 homes for settlers in the West Bank. And the White House spokesman will say things like, this is unhelpful. Or, this is not good for the peace process. This is troublesome. This is of great concern. Wow, such hard criticism, eh? I'm waiting for the day when the spokesman runs out of things like that to say and says, it gives us indigestion. It gives us a headache. Why is Israel not condemned in stronger terms? Because Israel is special. Settlers have been burning Palestinian olive trees, attacking children, taking over Palestinian land. This has been carrying on for so long, yet the world ignores it, except when a baby is burned to death. Then loud words of protest, and that's temporary. And guess what? The very next day and subsequently, the settlers have been merrily doing what they have been doing all along. More firebombs, more attacks on Palestinians, business as usual, and the world turns a blind eye because Israel is special. And here's a big one. Every Western leader has been strongly condemning anti-Semitism, expressions of hate against Jews. Yes, we all condemn it. But top Israeli politicians from the time Israel was created, more than 60 years ago, prime ministers, cabinet ministers, and even the highest religious leaders have been speaking about and describing Palestinians in the worst terms imaginable, cockroaches and worse. The worst racist, hate-filled expression that Palestinian children are legitimate targets to be killed because they may grow up to be terrorists. All this sheer rubbish, and yet the world turns a deaf ear to this poison because Israel is special. Secular leaders say that churches and mosques should be destroyed. The world doesn't hear because Israel is special. So my dear listeners, I'm sure you get my point clearly and loudly. I can go on and on, but the answer to the question, why is Israel singled out for special attention by Muslims? Why so much focus on Israel? The answer is simple, because the world at large has itself treated Israel as special, has bowed to its knees, has ignored its contraventions of international law and human rights, and instead of condemning it, has in fact done the opposite, has shown it great respect. So the bottom line is that we give Israel special attention because the world has been giving Israel special attention. Do you have time, Molana?
No, unfortunately, we're almost out. Is there something you want to add quickly?
Well, I was going to take another minute just to say something. Mm. Can I take a minute or two?
Okay.
Now, to another question. Many high-profile activists shy away from the question about what is a just settlement to the Israeli-Palestinian crisis. Pro-Palestinian supporters are asked, are you trying to delegitimize Israel? Do you say that Israel must not exist? Even BDS is often faced with the question, are you just trying to boycott goods produced in the occupied territory, or are you trying to destroy Israel? What is your objective? Well, I think that it's time to be bold when the question is asked, do you believe that Israel has a right to exist? The response should be, it's not a matter of whether I believe that Israel has a right to exist. The question should be, does Israel have a right to exist at the cost of Palestinian suffering? Does Israel have a right to exist at the cost of Palestinian rights being contravened and ignored? Once that question is framed like that, the answer is obvious. No, Israel cannot exist at the cost of Palestinian suffering. So even if Israel withdraws from the West Bank and frees Gaza and gives up East Jerusalem, where Al-Aqsa is located, of course, this will never happen. But let's assume that it did, and Palestinians had their own independent state in these areas. Would that mean that Palestinians have achieved a just settlement? Not at all. What about the millions of Palestinians who are living in refugee camps in surrounding countries who are desperately wanting to return to their homes within what is now known as Israel, from which they were thrown out 60 years ago? What about them? If they are not allowed to return, there is no justice. So, dear listeners, one has to be bold and, yes, very honest. The only solution is the South African solution. Blacks and whites living as equals in one country, Jews and Palestinians living in one land, the holy land of both, as equals, no apartheid. Whites died and blacks died because of apartheid. Jews died and Palestinians died because of Zionism. Zionism was declared as racism by the UN, though later under pressure from the US this was rescinded. But that doesn't alter the ideology. It's still racism, and it's no good for Jews and for Palestinians. And the response will be, hey, you want to destroy Israel? You want to kill the Jews? You want to drive them into the sea? Is that your plan? Such emotional nonsense does not address the issue in an intelligent, rational way. To speak of destroy is to speak of violence and terrorism and all of those things. This is not about destroying Israel. This is about building, yes, building a new society that is free of hate. And good heavens, the level of hate is rising more and more every time a Palestinian child is killed. So let's have a new society free of hate and one that respects all citizens as equals, all as God's children, all having hopes and aspirations for a better life for themselves and their children, where the words of Nelson Mandela reverberate. Never and never again shall it be that this beautiful land will again experience the oppression of one by another. That's all I have to say, Mullah.
Light at the end of the tunnel.
Very quickly, I got a few, but I don't think you got time for that. I just got one. I went to the light at the end of the tunnel graveyard to dig up one, and I just sprinkled some danya on it. So here it is, just one, only short one.
Hmm.
I have just heard a terrible report, Maulana, that a Pakistani drug addict here in Durban, he couldn't get drugs, so he was very desperate, so he decided to inject himself with Osman's extra special chili powder. He was rushed to a hospital. And the latest news I just heard now is that he is in ICU in a very deep korma.
In a very deep korma. Okay, Levy, enjoy your trip.
Jazakallah khair.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Let me just tell you this, Maulana. That it was a great pleasure to be speaking to you.
Well, I look forward to my t-shirt. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
16 to 9, you are listening to Sabah Al Muslim Drive Time on Radio Islam International. As we wind down the week, it's the weekly dosage of satire from our satirist, Radio Islam's in-house satirist, A.B. Dawji.